16, verses 7 through 15. And when you have it, will you say amen? I hear a few voices. Amen. All right, there we go. And it reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is Jesus speaking. "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." The word of God for the people of God. Today I want to come to you from a subject matter stated, Holy Spirit encounters. Holy Spirit encounters. We just had one here in worship. And how many of us know that we can have an encounter with the Holy Spirit just like we did today, wherever we are? All we have to do is say, "Come, Holy Spirit," and he will come. So he is a comforter in our brokenness. He is an intercessor when we don't have the words to say. He is a teacher, and he guides us throughout our lives. But he also reproves and he convicts. He convicts us of sin, he convicts us of righteousness, and he convicts us of judgment. That is his job. That's who he is. But over all things, he's still gentle, he's still loving, he's still kind. He's still the one that helps us to have self-control, and ultimately, the Holy Spirit is patient. And I thank God that he's patient. When he comes upon us, it's almost like we're frozen, we're surrendered in the spirit, and we can't move because of the weight that he presses on us. But it's a sweet weight. It's a gentle weight. And so he's been involved since the very beginning. God said at the beginning that he would make man in our own image, right? So that's God the Father, God the Son, that's the Holy Spirit, our, plural. It wasn't just God. Jesus was there too. And so when he says that he would do that, that's part of the background of the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit has been there throughout the whole Bible. Mentioned here and there, the men in the Old Testament, they walked with God daily. They heard his voice daily. I think about Joshua, who he didn't even have to die. He was just taken. He didn't have to go through the suffering and pain of dying. He just was taken because he walked with the Lord every single day. I want to be like Joshua. Let me walk with you, Jesus. Let me hear your word every single day. Let me hear your direction every single day. Tell me which way to turn so I can make sure that I'm in alignment. And so because the Holy Spirit dwelled where Jesus was when Jesus walked the earth, it kind of limited the ministry. Because it was only when Jesus went from left to right that the Holy Spirit dwelled with him, right? And so Jesus says here in the word, he says, "I have to go away, but it's to your benefit." Oh, it's to our benefit that Jesus had to leave this earth. And so, excuse me. And so going back to verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. It is necessary that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." This intercessor, If we go to Rome, let's go to Romans 8, 26 really quickly. Romans 8, 26, if you will. Sorry, I normally have them together. 8, 26. And it reads, get to my page. And it reads, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Has anyone ever been in a place where you had no words, but just the groans of your heart, the brokenness and sadness that you've had? I remember there was a time in my brokenness where I was sobbing on the pillow, and the only words that could come to my mind was, why? Like, why do I have to continue to go through this, Lord? Like, when will this pain stop? And you know, you get that ugly cry. You're like, oh, Lord, Jesus. Like, you get that ugly cry. And you can feel the turmoil in your heart, and it's moving, and you just don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Well, it's then that the Holy Spirit comes and intercedes for you. It's then that the Holy Spirit can take what you want to say, what you need to say, and give it to God to bring comfort. And so that encounter with the Holy Spirit mends the brokenness in your heart. It brings you forth to be able to walk another day, to walk with your head up another day, to continue in the journey of life, to continue in your sanctification through the Holy Spirit. And so he searches our hearts, and he knows exactly what we need. He searches our mind. He knows exactly what we need, and interprets that to the Lord. And so just as he comforted me in my own brokenness, I know that he will most definitely comfort you in yours and in your children's, right? We got to teach our children how to access the Holy Spirit. How can they get in front of God and say, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, come. And you know he'll come quickly, especially for those babies. And so not only does he comfort us, as if we're laying on this pillow sobbing on God's chest, that's how I have to envision it, like a daddy consoling his daughter. That's how the Holy Spirit is, comforting. But he also convicts us. Whew, he speaks truth. And so in verse 8 where it says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So through his word, he tells us exactly what we should not do. He is very explicit in his direction. It is not muddy water. Like, it is very, very clear as to what he tells us to do. You should not be a drunkard. You should not do drugs. You should be of sober mind. The word says exactly what we should do. You should not be in a sexual immorality. That's what the word says. It is clear. Those will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And how many of us want to go to heaven? That little snippet of the Holy Spirit that we felt today is nothing compared to what we're going to experience when we go to heaven. Nothing. And so let me bask in that. Let me stay in that. And so it's very important that we understand that as sweet and as beautiful and amazing as the Holy Spirit is, he is also convicting. But he'll also convict us of our righteousness. You see, in this particular scripture, Jesus was telling the disciples, he was like, I have to go away and I'm leaving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come. But what will you do when I'm gone? The Holy Spirit will convict us of our righteousness. While Jesus is gone, are you continuing to carry the characteristics of Jesus and who he is? Are we carrying that? Just because he's not here, it's just like when your parents aren't there, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? Same thing with Jesus, same thing with God. And so we have to make sure that we are exhibiting the characteristics of God. We are judged by our character and what God has put inside of us and what he's called us to do. And so when mom and dad is gone, am I still being who I'm supposed to be? And even so now, I'm a grown adult and my parent, I still take take pride in being who I am from my parents and what they've instilled inside of me. And I try not to do things that would ever dishearten them, but ultimately Jesus Christ as well. I never want to tarnish his name, right? I want to make sure that as a pastor or as a minister and a preacher, that I am doing the will of God, that I am in God's will. And so even if you're not a minister, if you're not a preacher, we are Christians and we are called to live a certain way and to walk by the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit also convicts us of our righteousness. He convicts us in our judgment. And so the prince of the world, who we call Satan, will be judged accordingly. But because of Christ's victory, we know where he's going. And so we've got to make sure that we don't go the same place. All right. And so he convicts, okay? But he's also a guide and a teacher. He teaches us and he guides us. And he is the light that reveals things that we need to know and gives us direction. So in verse 12 and 13, it reads, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Jesus said that there is more for me to share. There is more to come, y'all. The show ain't over. After he who died on the cross, it wasn't over. It was simply just the beginning. And so he said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will have to be here to be my communicator, to show you things and to tell you things and to guide you and to teach you as you continue to go out into all the world and preach the word of God. And he says, he speaks truth. If you look at, or you can write this scripture down, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11, "Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yea, and the depth of God." So although the Holy Spirit knows our mind, the Holy Spirit knows God's mind. And eyes have not heard, right? I mean, sorry, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard all of the things that God is going to do. And so because we haven't heard that, if we're in alignment with the Spirit, we will be given the information from God because of the communication. But if we don't have the Spirit, we can't hear him. And so it's very important that we have the Spirit. It's very important that daily we ask and invite him to come in. But how is he going to come in if our temple is dirty? How is he going to come in if our temple is filled with other things? So how do we cleanse and clean our temple? What do we do to clean our temples out? We pray and we worship and we ask God to deliver us from the things that we struggle with. That doesn't mean that it's not okay to have things to struggle with. We're not perfect. None of us are. So even if it's a thought, the smallest thing that we think is a thought can grow and become much bigger. But we have to take that to the Lord. We have to take that and put it at his feet. And so we've got to make sure that we do that and understand that the Holy Spirit has every opportunity to convict us of anything that we have within our hearts. And that's okay. And so he speaks the truth, right? And he can touch our hearts and he can guide us through the ways and directions that we have to go through in life. And so I love sharing this this example of listening and being in tune with the Lord for the simple fact that, you know, I have seen and felt the Holy Spirit work many, many times. And one significant time was when I was, you know, looking for a job. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time, and I was like, okay, I'm ready to go back to work, right? And I'm in education, so I took the PE certification, and I was like, I'm going to start in PE. I'm going to get back, you know, to the kids. And I remember I was on my way out of town, and my roommate from college, she texted me, and we were just catching up, and she said, And she said, well, what are you doing? And I said, oh, well, you know, I'm looking for a job right now and all the different things. And she said, okay. She said, oh, I just had lunch with a friend that works at a school, and the position they have open is PE, and God is screaming at me to tell you about this job. I need you to send your resume to me right now. And she was so quick, and she was so adamant about, I need you to do it right now. And I did it right then. And the interesting thing about it, I didn't know much about the school, but I trusted my friend that she heard from the Lord that I needed to hear that direction. And so I went and I got an interview. They prayed for me in the interview. We talked about the Holy Spirit and how does God work in my life? What was my experience in church and all of the things? And so it was a private school and I got the job. They called me the same day. They said, we don't want you to get away. We got to make sure that you get this job. 7 years later, here I am, and I've grown all the way to the top. And so I'm just saying that I trusted my friend to be in alignment with the Lord, because that's who I surround myself with. But she was obedient to God because she heard the Holy Spirit nudging her ear saying, you need to talk to Tierra about this. And so when we hear God, when it's regarding somebody else, that may be something for their purpose to unlock, right? And so we have to be obedient, not just for ourselves in our own direction, but also for others. And so when God tells you to tell somebody something and you're like, oh, God, I don't know if I can say that, say it, because the Holy Spirit will meet you on the other side. Be obedient. I promise you, he will meet you on the other side. Don't be afraid, because he set the heart of that person already to be able to receive it. If I wasn't in Christ, I wouldn't have been able. I'd be like, girl, I didn't want that job. And it was not a high step. It was a low step, you know, and that's okay. I had to go low. God had to, he had to take me low first. He had to teach me all of the ways. And if I could tell y'all more of the story, you would be jumping up and down with me just as well. But it's okay. That's for another day. But in real life, y'all, seriously, we have to adhere to the Holy Spirit. And if you've never encountered him, I promise you, if you just take time alone and you sit quietly with him, we have busy days. We have busy things that we do all the time. And sometimes I'm guilty of it too. And I'm literally just like, Lord, like, just, I need to sit down with you. Because yes, I pray all day. I talk to him all day. But there, I have to have that intimate time with him. I have to be able to receive a word from him. I got to be able to get on my face. And so we have to make sure that we create that time. Because our world should be centered around him, not him centered around our world. And so I'm getting off task. I'm sorry. But currently, just making sure that we pray. You know, it was to our benefit. And this breaks my heart, because it was to our benefit that he went to the cross. It was to our benefit that he was beaten and arrested. It was to our advantage. It was to the disciples' advantage, because it made them stronger. It allowed their gifts to come forth. And to go and to lay hands on people and to preach the word of God. So it was to our advantage that Jesus Christ went to Calvary. But how so? How does that make us better? Well, because now we can understand him just a little bit more than we did before. Now, when two or three are gathered together over here to pray, and then over here in California, two or three are over here gathered to pray, the Holy Spirit can be in both places and all places at one time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it was to our advantage that he had to go back to sit on the throne with God. It was for our benefit. And so when we get hung up in all of the things that God is, and when we don't see him and when we don't feel him, all you got to do is invite him to come in. We invite him to come into our service, and we sing, come, right? I about flipped, because that's in my sermon here in a minute. I about flipped when we started singing that this morning. I came to the 9 o'clock and we started singing, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Because when I'm unsure, he confirms that you're hearing me right. But I got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to know that. And so the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to talk about himself. So if you missed this morning, Pastor was talking about preachers, proving the preacher, testing the spirit of the preacher, right? having preachers that are preaching the word of God. And so if that preacher is not glorifying Jesus, that is not, the Holy Spirit is not present. If the word is not completely about Jesus, because this whole entire Bible points to Jesus from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. So if it's not talking about, if he's not talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit is not there. Do we understand that? That's a real thing. The Holy Spirit does not glorify himself, but he glorifies God. So Jesus left that the Holy Spirit would come, and so that he could dwell with us at all times, at any time. And so I want to go to Revelations 22. You don't have to go there, but Revelations 22, 17. Got a lot of scripture this morning, but it's good. I promise. All right. And it reads, "Come," and the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The word "come," could this be an invitation? Absolutely. Just like we invited him into our service, it is an invitation for the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And I know we felt him, right? And so when he says "come," it's an opportunity, but it's also a responsibility that we have. And if we deny that invitation, we have no one to blame except for ourselves. And so when God says "come," you have to want to hear him. You have to thirst after him. And you have to have a desire. Because he doesn't want you to come if you can't hear. How can you come if you can't hear? He doesn't want you to come unless you thirst after him, unless you really want him. And you know that when you drink of this living water that you'll never thirst again. If you don't want that or have that thirst in you, he doesn't want it anyway. And then do you desire him? Do you really, truly desire what he has to offer? If so, come. And one thing that we get twisted that we don't understand is it says, you know, who it says that if you don't understand Christian doctrine, come anyway. If you feel like, you know what, I just can't let go of this sin, I don't know what I'm doing, come anyway. If you don't understand, well, how is it Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit? That's okay. Come anyway. Because as you search and you seek him, you will find him. And you will find him in his word. And so regardless of where you are in your life, wherever you are in your walk, whether you just started, you've been on this journey for a really long time, you got it together and it's like a, you know, a well-oiled machine that's working and going, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. Come. And hopefully, as we come, we will bring others with us. Because that's the point. We don't want to go by ourselves. We want to have a party when it's time. Yeah. I know who I'm going to be sitting next to in heaven. We want to have a party when Jesus comes. We want to celebrate and worship him and see all the things that have come to pass through his word that he said would come, that the prophets prophesied about. We've been talking about Jesus since the very beginning, that there would be someone that would come, the king would come. And we are so near, saints. And so every encounter that you have with the Holy Spirit is just a snippet. It's just a small fraction of what heaven is like. The angels do nothing but sing, "Holy, holy, holy." That's all they do. So you better figure out how to worship. You better figure out how to jump up and down and raise your hands up. Let's be in the corner that's, you know, live, you know, and excited about it. And so we have to remember, he said, come. He doesn't care about your background. He doesn't care about, you know, your faults, your flaws, the things that you struggle with. He just wants to have an encounter with you. He wants to sit with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to transform you. And he wants you ultimately to know that he loves you more than anyone could ever, you could ever imagine. You think your parents love you. You think, you know, your grandparents love you. That love is not even close, not even close to how God loves us and how much he wants us to do better and to be better individuals. So it doesn't matter. Again, don't feel guilty. That is not from the Lord. Guilt is from the devil. Fear is from the devil. And so release it. Leave it at the altar. Leave it at the cross. Because that's what he died for. He didn't die for no reason. So if we keep trying to take back that sin, okay, oh Lord, I can't stop. You know, I can't stop doing. If we keep trying to take it back, then he died for no reason. He died for it, y'all. And so because he went away, he left his spirit here. What an amazing, like, thank you, Jesus, for leaving your spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that I can access the same spirit that my family accesses in California. Thank you, Jesus. Right? And so I'm so thankful that he gave this word on today. And that we have that invitation to come and have an encounter with him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you work in mysterious ways that we could never understand, Jesus. And God, we just ask that every person that's standing in this room, every person that is online, Lord God, we pray that you would touch them where they are because they can feel the same spirit, God, the same spirit that we feel right now, Lord God, is all over the place where we are on one accord, Jesus. And we thank you, God. We don't take that for granted. So we thank you that you are a comforter. We thank you that you are a teacher, that you guide us, Lord. And that you are our intercessor, Lord, when we don't have the words to say. So as we lift up our hands to you, God, we have a conversation with you, knowing where we are in our own walks with you. Give us an encounter. Give us just a snippet of what it's going to be like when we come to dwell with you forever. We thank you that you went away to prepare a place for us. We thank you that you have also invited us in, oh God, and you said, come. So Lord, as we close on today, Lord God, help us to take this word with us. Help us to digest it, Lord, and to always give it to somebody else. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for Sister Tierra bringing the word this morning. An encounter with the Holy Spirit. Let that marinate. An encounter with the Holy Spirit, because once you have that one encounter, you will not be the same again. Everything in your life will change. Your mind will transform. Your heart will continue to be carved in a way where it's going to follow the way of the Lord. But don't stop there. Stay in his word. Stay in prayer. Stay in communion, constant communion with him. Let him be that consuming fire that continues to change you from the inside out. In Jesus' name. We have a few announcements. If you haven't given already, we do need your support. Those that are online and have joined us by way of airwaves, we thank you for being with us this morning. We hope to see you on Wednesday as well. We do need your support. Food baskets are available. So if you have a family member or a friend that needs a food basket, please see Sister Boyd or Sister Amelia. And this Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're starting our new Bible study in the book of 2 Corinthians. So all that are able to come out and be here and join us for word upon word and precept upon precept, join us. Amen. Please be blessed today. If you're going to get something to eat, get full, get some rest, and have a good week. You are dismissed. Amen.